Hello, we are Emma White
and David J. Lilly.
And we're both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We're both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you right here.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or a creative type, or you spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkly chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Emma
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life. Good morning, Emma. How are you?
Good morning, David. How are you? I'm fab.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm sitting here with the blinds closed because it's so sunny. I can't see you if I have the blinds open.
I know. I'm slightly blinded by the light here. Yeah. Never mind. Sunny leaves.
It's lovely for October, isn't it?
Who knew? It is. It's nice, actually. Not complaining. I like it.
No, we need days like this at this time of year. Otherwise, it's very dull in England.
Absolutely.
So the final has happened. The finale.
It has. Oh, yeah. Wasn't it amazing?
It was wonderful to watch.
It was. I had such an amazing day. We had family here. My two oldest friends from Scotland came down for a few hours, just literally for a few hours. Yeah, it was great. It was great. We had such a good night.
That's really brilliant. I'm really pleased for you. It was interesting for me, obviously, because I wasn't in it. And so that was a different watch.
I missed you.
That's so sweet. Thank you. So I am going to interview you, milady.
Ew. So,
yes, because obviously I have nothing to say about what I made on the show, because I didn't make anything on the show, obviously. Though I did make the stuff subsequently from the show that I would have made on the show, but we won't go there. That's another time. So this show was a show of two parts, like all the others, in that we had the bestseller and we had the bespoke, and the bestseller was an 18-carat gold sapphire engagement ring.
Wasn't it lush? Absolutely. That gold. Oh, what a treat to play with all that. Yeah.
Was that a Ceylon sapphire? I don't know. They didn't really say. It was just a gorgeous colour.
I just know it was gorgeous.
Yeah. I'll go with that one too.
Ooh, and it was much bigger in real life than I anticipated. Don't see that often, do you, as a woman?
No, you don't. You don't.
Here we go, lowering the tone already.
Well, we haven't got Catherine with us, so one of us has to.
Exactly. So, the gold.
Come on, focus. Tell me about your design. What inspired the design of your engagement ring?
You know, I like a story, David. So, and I also, I have this kind of continuous kind of movement, twisty thing that sort of pops up in my work over and over again. So for me, I wanted to have something that was kind of reminiscent of life and of marriage, obviously it being an engagement ring, of that kind of movement of life where things change and then you're going along and then something happens and then you have to move, and you know, everything's constantly in flux. So there was like a ribbon of 18 karat gold that kind of wound itself around the ring, and that was what it was symbolic of. And then I had some granulation going on as well, where I'd melted some of the gold down into little blobs, all different sizes, which were kind of like the bumps along the road, the journey, you know, the high points, the low points. That was kind of where I was going with that.
Wonderful idea.
Yeah, I liked it, actually. I've never really made engagement rings. I've made a couple, but I'm not a massive, traditional engagement ring person. They don't really speak to me. So I guess I've kind of never really ventured down that route. But this one I love. I felt like having been pushed to create one, I felt like it was me. And it felt good. I was really pleased with the design. I really loved the way there was the movement around the setting. I kind of can see how it would really work with another ring next to it that would move and they could kind of like undulate together. I think it's going to be, I am going to create a collection of engagement rings and it will sit in there. Yeah.
That would be fabulous.
Yeah, thank you.
So would you take that basic ring and cast it so you could set it with different stones, or would you always make those again the way you made it on the show?
I don't know, really. I don't imagine that I will cast it. I imagine them being handmade.
That's an interesting point, actually. We should just explore that quickly. That I've said casting and you've said no, handmade.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's often a debate, especially with fine jewelers, as to whether something that's cast is handmade or not, whether because it hasn't been forged out of pieces of jewelry. Now, I personally think it's still handmade because I carved that piece of wax. I've, you know, set the stones. I finished it. I've added other bits to the casting if needs be.
Mm.
So I'm a very big advocate that if I have started creating something out of another material that becomes precious metal, then it's still, as far as I'm concerned, handmade.
Fair dues.
So how do you...
I've never really given it that much thought, to be honest, David.
Okay, scrap that one.
It's fine. I mean, I do cast, you know, as you could see from the charm bracelet that I made. That's casting. What I've never really done as a jeweler is kind of that mass-produced casting thing, but I'm not snobby about it. If it's the right solution for the job, then I'm all for it. Like whatever works really for me. Yeah, I'm not like, oh no, it must be. I just hadn't imagined it being cast, just with it being so like quite a fiddly sort of design, and the underneath of the ribbons possibly being quite difficult to get to in terms of polishing and stuff. I'm getting geeky now.
Oh,
sorry.
God. Yes.
Yeah.
No, not, yeah. People
I'm falling
like
down.
Geeky,
I'm falling down a geeky wormhole. I imagine them to be handmade, but I need to explore all of this. I'm right at the beginning of this journey with this collection, so. Watch the space.
That'd be fabulous. So do you think you might design wedding rings to go with the engagement ring?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I had that in mind already when I was making it. That's the thing. When you make something new, you're already thinking on about the next and the next and the next, aren't you?
I mean, you could, I mean, here's just throwing ideas in, but you could also have, obviously, earrings and cufflinks.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it speaks to some of the other pieces.
Bring and make a parure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There's always connections to be made. There's always more ideas than there are hours in the day. So, yeah, I imagine that, you know, this collection, like some of the other collections that I've created from my favourite pieces on the show, will grow arms and legs and ears and wrists and everything.
That would make a fabulous bangle.
Wouldn't it?
An absolutely F off size sapphire.
Well, I could imagine it really with lots of diamonds like set into the granules or little ones, you know, little sparklers and stuff. I mean, you could go very far with it, but must have the ribbon. I think the ribbon is key for me, because that's the bit that makes it mine.
Well, that's the story, isn't it?
It's the story, yeah, exactly so. And I feel like, you know, I mean, there's some stunning work out there with granulation that I very much admire and covet for my own collection. But I think the bit that makes it mine is the ribbon. So for me, it's like it's a marriage of those things. But yeah, I was really pleased. And when I came down and saw I was top of that podium, that was really special. That was really, really special. Because, you know, we all produce such amazing work, and that was great. And I felt the judges really liked that design and saw that the concept was there. And, you know, and I executed it well. Mm-hmm. Was a bit squeaky bum at the end, trying to get that stone in on time, because I carved the seat and then I was like, oh, it's a little bit shallow. I need to go a bit deeper. But I was determined it couldn't be bodged. You know what I mean? It needed to be done properly. So I really cut it quite fine at the end. I think in the edit, they said, and I don't have any recollection of saying this at all, but in the edit, they said something like, I think I'm going to vomit on it.
That's right.
Which I sounded the most Scottish I think I've ever sounded in my life when I said that. And that really made me laugh when we were all sitting watching and my family were all laughing at me. My mother was like, oh, Emma. But yeah, it was amazing that it came top. It was great. Good feeling.
And rightly so. I mean, I was lucky enough, obviously, because what the viewers don't know is I stayed after I finished in the semi-final with the three of you while you were recording all this. And so obviously I got to see everybody's designs before you went and made them. Ooh. I had a heads up in the respect. And it was so interesting to see what you did actually in the show, the three of you, compared to what you were expecting to do. The diversity of your three styles was really interesting.
Yeah.
We were discussing it. So Krish and Richie and I were watching the finale together. We'd watched all the way through, the three of us.
Oh, nice.
And it was interesting to see, because obviously I knew Krish had forgotten and I wasn't going to tell Richie. And so they were all debating as to what the order was going to be. But it was brilliant and well done.
Thank you.
For getting to the top podium.
I know. In the last week. Woohoo.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, that was a good feeling. Very good. Mm.
So that was that. Yeah, the bespoke. Now, the bespoke was a much bigger challenge, wasn't it? So we had Shirley Ballas there. And what was interesting as a viewer was that to see her going round the workshop, talking to the three of you, because obviously the other bespoke clients hadn't had that opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, fangirl. I bought Strictly since Jill Halfpenny won. That was the second series. Yeah, that was the second series. I remember watching Anton twizzing round Anne Whittacombe. Oh dear. Scott Mills doing the crab dance. And then all the beautiful dances in between. Dances that have moved me to tears. It's a big thing in our house, is Strictly. We watch it together with the kids. Well, they don't always make the end because they're quite little and sometimes on quite late. But we always start watching it and then we watch the rest over the weekend. So we're big Strictly fans here. So for me, Shirley Ballas was like just a huge star to be in front of me. And she was so lovely. She was so lovely. She was, yeah.
Have you never thought of going and learning ballroom dancing, you and Richard?
Well, I would, but you need to speak to Richard. He's not up for that. I used to dance a bit when I was younger. I mean, my best friend, Lindsay, that came down and watched the final with me, she's a superb dancer and she was a very good dancer. She used to drag us along to all these competitions. And so I can shape my ass quite well on the dance floor, but I'm no ballroom dancer, mate. My children dance though. The two small ones both dance.
Brilliant.
They do street dance and a bit. They do ballroom at their studio. So Mabel's doing a little bit of Teddy Tango right now.
Okay.
So yeah, dancing's a thing. We're quite a musical family. The kids all play instruments and stuff, and we sing a lot and all that jazz. So she was a massive person. She was a massive, you know, deal for me. Massive.
Yes.
The challenge was create an occasion necklace that would be worn on Strictly. And we had the outfit that she was going to wear in the studio, which was the most amazing kind of satin jumpsuit with a V-neck that was like really amazing kind of scarlet color. You know, Shirley's such a dramatic looking woman with her dark hair, beautiful skin, that it was just a fabulous dramatic outfit for her. And I really, red's a color I love anyway. And I was like, wow. This is such an opportunity. So yeah, my inspiration came from Shirley herself. And Shirley is queen of the rumba, which, as she said herself on the show, is a vertical expression of a horizontal act.
Indeed.
So my necklace was love on fire, basically. It was about, it was about passion. It was about the chase. It was just about sex, David. It was just really about sex. Let's face it. Yeah, so I love that they coined it the raunchy rumba necklace in the show, because I wasn't aware of that at the time. It was love to me. It was love on fire. That's what it was. Love on fire. I kind of had that Kings of Leon song in my head. You know, sex is on fire.
Okay.
So I wanted to create something that was basically like had some sort of like big dramatic love in the center, and I kind of looked at like Sacred Hearts and. You know, there was some references I saw on social media that were like, oh, you know, like Evil Queen and all that. And I'm like, yes, that's what I was going for. Like that slightly gothic-y, slightly kind of edgy, not being little sweet, nice Emma housewife here, but the guts of a woman stuff. The real woman, the real person inside. And on the back, I stamped a phrase which is Shakespeare, which is, and though she be but little, she is fierce. Which I think is perfect for Shirley and also maybe applies to me too.
Yes, I think so, without doubt.
And to a lot of women out there, you know, sometimes we feel a little bit drowned with life, but it's in there, you know, it's in there. We are fierce. So, yeah, so that's what the necklace was about.
And what did you make it from? Not everybody might have seen it yet, of course, because
we
have listeners all over the world. I found last month we had our first listener in Albania.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. And we
Hi, Albania.
And we rank very high in Hungary as well.
In Hungary. Are they hungry for glitter in Hungary?
They must be. They're hungry for us anyway.
Have you ever been to Hungary, David?
I have not been to Hungary. No.
Okay. So it's nothing you've done.
No, nothing I've done. No, well, not there anyway. No disasters left behind in my wake. So describe your pendant, because we had a discussion, a rather irreverent discussion about your heart.
Okay.
Over here. But I won't go there. I'll okay. let you describe your pendant. And then I might chip in with that bit if it seems appropriate.
Okay. Right. Well, so I needed to have a big red heart in the center. I cast it with the Delft clay,
okay.
which is not luck, it's skill. And I carved it in wax first. And then I cast this really, I carved this very nice kind of peachy heart. Cast it into silver. I could have left it silver, but I really wanted it to be red. I kind of played with a few different ways to get it red, and nothing was kind of working within the challenges of the time that we had. I ultimately went back to the contemporary materials week.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, that dipping rubber. Oh, and I was a bit like, it's dipping rubber. It's an occasion necklace. And then I thought, no, you know what? It's for the telly. It needs to be dramatic. It is dramatic. It needs to be colourful. It's the exact right shade of red to match the mm-hmm. outfit. And, you know, and I thought back to kind of Sean's catwalk days when he used a lot of alternative materials in the amazing yes. things that he made. And I was like, no, this is valid. This is right. This is right for the brief. This is right for Shirley. It's right for the design. So I stand by my rubber choice. My rubber was good. I stand by my choice. So, yeah, so I went with it. So I had to do it first thing in a challenge so I had enough time to dry properly. And I also, yeah. for the on the technical side, to make it hard wearing, because, you know, obviously it's rubber, so it's not, yep. and if you just use it as it is and leave it, it's not hugely hard wearing. But you can actually buy like a finishing spray. And what okay. that does is it sets it like really, really solidly. So it was literally like it was hard. And you couldn't really tell, obviously you can't tell that. And it's no. probably not that interesting for the TV show, but, you know, just if anyone's interested in this. But and it had several coats of this spray on it, which made it like really, really hard and very resilient and actually quite proud. So right. I kind of felt like it answered the brief really well. And then the garnet, which obviously was like a key part of the design, was almost like a drip of blood. So again, it was mm-hmm. that like passion reference, you know, bleeding heart, you know. And the garnet was darker than I would have liked, but that was the colour that I had in my dish on the day. So that was what I had. I have since remade this next. Necklace, and I have replaced the heart in the center and the teardrop with rubies. And they honestly, David, it's to die for. I mean,
bet.
You know, not to blow my own trumpet, but it is just amazing.
I bet people are going to want to see that.
Yes, I will release that pretty soon. I've just had the professional photos back and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Nice.
So yeah, I was really pleased with it. The silver, there was like a silver black plate with the stamping on the back. So that was just personal for Shirley. I used some gold. So I'd like basically like gold and silver flames that were kind of like twisting all around the heart. There was some thorn claw settings that kind of held it in place. So again, that was that slightly punky edgy kind of thing I was going for.
Mm-hmm.
I had handmade chain that was twisted, beaten, that kind of ties into a lot of the other things that I make. I was just so pleased with it. Really, really pleased with it. And then off we popped. And when we
yes.
came back and Shirley was stood in front of us, that literally that moment where she said, I think she said something like, the person I've chose really saw the essence of the real me. And when she said that, I thought it's going to be me. Because I felt that connection when we were speaking. And I was telling her the design, I felt that she saw that I had looked at her. Like it wasn't,
yep.
you know, that it was actually that she, when she stood in front of me and she said, the person I've chosen has seen the essence of the real me. I felt that that was going to be mine. And mm-hmm. because I felt that connection with her when we had chatted about the design, I felt that it resonated with her.
Yeah.
And I felt very strongly that I'd got that bit right. Her saying my name then was career highlight, without the pinnacle of everything I've ever done, really.
Yeah,
it
that's
just couldn't
wonderful.
Have been a bit. It just couldn't have been better for me that she actually saw me right back.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing with all these bespoke challenges was we were given the brief. We didn't get to talk to the client. And obviously, normally, if you've got a bespoke brief,
uh-huh.
the client comes with their idea. You then talk with them, uh-huh.
you
revise it, you change it,
yeah.
you get a feel of who they are.
Yeah.
And of course, we didn't have the opportunity with that because of obviously how the show works.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that you managed to do that with such an important piece
uh-huh.
and, you know, in such an important challenge,
mm-hmm.
I think is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful, and you should be very proud of doing
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Because I know it's difficult to do, because obviously I did five of them.
Yes. It is difficult to do. And I think, you know, the fact that Shirley is quite a public figure and that I'm a fan most definitely meant that I had that background. But I mean, it's all out there to find, really, that Shirley is extremely famous in her for being a dancer before she was in Strictly. And her dance was always the rumba. Her dance was the rumba. I remember actually my nan watching her when my nan used to watch with me Strictly Come Dancing, like the old Strictly Come Dancing. You know?
I remember them.
Do you remember when it was just
I do.
Yeah. We watched that.
Northwest West London.
Before it was even Strictly.
Yes.
So I think, you know, that was just the most incredible kind of validation for me. And it kind of is really great. I'm quite critical of myself, of everything, really. That's just kind of who I am. But I'm genuinely proud of that. And that's, you know, I'm genuinely proud that she chose me. And I'm genuinely proud of the piece. I think it's probably the piece of my career so far. Everything about it felt good. And that was everything I needed. It was everything I needed that day.
So what did it feel like to watch yourself on this show? I mean, having been on the show, obviously, we both knew what it was like to be there, but not necessarily just thinking about the final, but all kind of six episodes that you're in. What did it feel like to sit there in front of the telly and see yourself on TV?
You know, it was harder than I anticipated. I felt like when we actually filmed and then we finished that was sort of the end of the roller coaster. And I hadn't really quite anticipated that watching it would also be another roller coaster. Because I think, and I don't know if you feel the same, but for me, when I was there, I was very much just focused on me and what I was making and what I was doing and how I was answering questions. And then you've got all the shallow stuff like, oh, have I put my lipstick on or whatever as well. You know, there's all that.
Not the lipstick, no.
Not the lipstick, no. But
never find my colour.
Me neither, mate. Me neither. This is blatantly obvious. Yeah, so obviously, like, when we were actually filming, I was focused more on myself. But when I was watching, it was really interesting because I got to see everybody else. And there was things that I just hadn't picked up on, like the stories, you know, that the others told and the meanings that they had behind their pieces and, you know, their thought process. People had reactions that I wasn't aware of. So that was quite interesting. And also I kind of watched it a little bit in a detached way. You know, I kind of watched it in a little bit of a detached way because I was dragged along with the storytelling of the show as a viewer. At times I kind of forgot it was me and I was just watching it like a fan. Because I wasn't, you know, that's where I started. I was a fan. I was a huge fan of the series. So that was kind of weird as well. And then people were saying things to me in the street like, oh, good luck for next week. And I was like, oh, thanks. And somewhere inside me, I've got this optimism that I was going to win. Even though I knew I wasn't going to win. Because we'd already filmed it. But, you know, and they were like, oh, we're all rooting for you. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm just going to disappoint you all. But no, that was a lovely thing, was that, you know, all the support from people and the messages and, you know, people stopping me in the street and all that jazz. That was really incredible.
And of course, talking about messages, social media, in that obviously we were warned in advance that, you know, there could be good or bad on social media.
Yeah.
And we've all had some kind of weird things. I mean, my weirdest, it's very, as soon as the show got announced, I'm not big on Facebook. I do have Facebook, but I don't use it. I use Instagram. But I suddenly got a lot of friend requests, and I use friend in inverted commas, from a lot of bearded men who seem to be either living in Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Turkey, or other parts
Hungary?
Of the world.
Hungary? Not, have you a lot
no,
of Hungary?
No, there were no Hungarians.
Hungarians.
But it was interesting because what became very clear was that these were men who were living in parts of the world where being homosexual is illegal.
Oh, wow.
Or is something, you know, that can't be seen in public.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they were reaching out in a variety of manners, shall we say.
Oh, wow.
So in the end, you know, it was just delete, 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 delete. There were very few people that, you know, I wasn't going to be
sad,
able to
connect with.
Which
kind of sad, isn't it? That smacks of some sort of loneliness there, which...
It is, which is a real shame.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I wasn't expecting it.
Blimey, so, David. See, I just haven't had that at all. Middle-aged mum from Leeds, mother of six. Uninteresting.
Well, you never know.
No, I haven't had any of that dodginess.
You see, you're the Well, you could have ended up being, of course, the All That Glitters MILF. See?
Oh, dear. I don't know how to answer that, David. I'm clearly not.
I don't think you should.
One should have had more Botox.
Rubbish.
Anyway, no, that hasn't really been a thing. For me, it's been more, I've had lots of messages from jewelers, from people that have watched. I've had a few people kind of from my childhood and stuff that have popped up and said, oh, well done, we've loved watching you. I've had some ex-students Fabulous. That have been, I went to watch All the Glitters and you were on it. Oh, my God. That sort of overexcited thing, which has been really cool. Been quite interesting. I mean, I've kind of, like you, I'm more of an Instagram fan. I do a bit of Facebook, try and keep up with the Facebook as well. I did have a look on Twitter. That sort of like, I was a bit like, oh, goodness. There's been a lot of messages. They've kind of fallen in two camps. They've kind of been, a lot of people have contacted me and said, when are we going to see this necklace on Shirley? And, you know, it was an amazing moment for me that I've already seen the necklace on Shirley. It already happened, but unfortunately I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. So that's the kind of bulk of messages. And then obviously there's been a little bit of debate about the decision that the judges made that I didn't win with winning both challenges. So I've had quite a lot of messages about that as well. And I've seen that debate rage in places, and it's been the press and all that. So yeah, that's been kind of weird, because obviously I knew I didn't win, but it was maybe a shock to other people. But you know, I was obviously, I would have loved to have won. You know, I would have loved to have won, of course.
We all would have.
But it was amazing to do so well in the final. We all produced, all of us produced amazing work over the series. But at the end of the day, you know, I went into that competition and I was completely up for being judged by those judges who I totally respect. You know, I now admire them personally, but before I went into the competition, I really admired them professionally. You know, they're amazing, and I respect the decision that they made. But I mean, for me, it was just a huge career highlight to like be there and to win both those challenges at the end. It was great. I mean, what an enormous validation for
yes,
me.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? So, yeah. You know, congratulations to Piers. You know, he's amazing.
Indeed.
He's a very talented young man, and, you know, I consider him a friend, and it's fine.
In the end, yeah, we didn't set the challenges. No. We didn't set up the format.
We didn't make the rules. I just went out
there.
We
were just the daft.
Did our best. Yeah.
Yeah, we were the daft ones who put ourselves forward.
Exactly.
To say,
and you know, and you have to accept that you are given that control over. And, you know, and it's a game show. I'm not saying it's not important. I don't mean that in a dismissive way, because it was important to me and I cared. And, you know, honestly, I went home after a few drinks that night to the back to the hotel and I had a wee cry, because I'm a human being and I would have loved to have won. And for maybe a split second, I thought maybe I might. But I didn't. And, you know, there's no shame in losing to Piers or to Jack or to any of you, because we're all so, so talented. And there was just so much talent in the room. There was some incredible work produced. It was the most amazing experience of my professional life. And, you know, I am so, so glad that I did it. And I'm so, so grateful for everything that happened to me at the time, that's happened to me now. I just don't have a bad word to say about it, really.
I agree wholeheartedly with everything you just said there. So we should then finish with the list of who we had this wonderful experience with, shouldn't we?
Yes, let's do it.
So shall we start in order of which they bowed out?
Yes.
Okay, so the first person to bow out was the wonderful Steve Alley, who is also known as Mustafa. That's his.
Yeah, Mustafa, I think it is.
Mustafa, is it? Yeah. Yes, my pronunciation isn't everything.
That's
so,
what I
mean. What's his Instagram handle?
He is road_from_Damascus.
Fab. Then we said goodbye to Nyanda.
Yep, so Nyanda is soulvisionary_jewels.
And then I was really surprised when Tian went out in episode 3.
So she is TS Fine Jewelry.
And then we had, what do we have? We had the alternative materials week, didn't we? And we lost poor Bonnie.
Yep, troubled_maker.
And then, of course, there was yours truly, who went out in the semi-final. And that was me.
David J. Lilly Jewelry.
That's the one. Lots of L's in that one. And then, of course, the final. And the final was Jack.
Jack Mitchell with 2 L's, Jewelry.
And Piers.
Piers Carpenter Jewelry.
And you.
Yay, Emma.White.Jewelry.
Fab. And I'll put all those, or well, between us, we'll put them all in the show notes as well. So
Fabulous.
Obviously people can pick them up there as well. But I think it's been really fun to do these reviews of the show.
Yeah, each week. Too.
It's been nice to have the opportunity to talk about the things that we enjoyed and the things that kind of moments and the things that really didn't work. Just to let the listeners know, we're going to be interviewing everybody from the show, aren't we?
Yeah.
So they'll be coming on the podcast. And after that, we're going to be interviewing some of the people from series one as well to see what they're up to now.
Fingers crossed. That would be great.
I know. I know we've already got Sunny and Lee on board. So, we'll see what's going.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, wonderful. Right, so back to the workshop for me to make some jewellery orders that are coming in. Thank you very much, everybody. What are you up to,
I'll
David?
Second that one. Yeah. I have some commissions I'm working on at the moment and some clients to talk to. And, yeah, it's going to be busy. And then I'm seeing you tomorrow at the Goldsmiths.
Yay! I can't wait to see you.
And Bonnie's going to be joining us as well.
Yeah, lovely. Can't wait to see you.
So that'll be fab. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. See you later, alligator.
Lots of love.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us in another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track, Optopi, which is our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.